Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Hey, man, it is good to be here today. It's exceptionally good to see all you guys. I was trying to think about what to tell you about work, because I usually try to have something. These last couple of weeks have been really good for me at work. First off, we had a fire last shift, and that was, I know we always love fire, right? And fortunately, nobody got hurt, but it was still a fire, and we enjoyed it thoroughly. We enjoy it thoroughly. That's what we're there for, right? And you know, we've gone, C-Shift has gone like a couple, 3 years with nothing. And we've had two in the last, within the last 30 days. And both of them have been pretty good little fires. So we have fun at work. But I really felt good. We do a thing called PAT, Physical Agility Test. And we have to do this quarterly. And beginning next year, you have to pass this thing in order to stay on the line. If you don't pass it, then you got to go to 8-hour days and start remedial physical training and such as that. So in order to validate this test for hiring at the city of Southlake, plus making it punitive if you don't pass it, they had to get some people to run this test. So our physical fitness guy thought he'd have the great idea of inviting the local CrossFit group to come over and do this. Well, I don't know if you know about CrossFit, but these people are fit. We had seven women show up one morning, and we're all like, why you do this to us, Nick? You know? Seven women. And we're thinking, we don't want a bunch of women to come in here and, you know, blow our times out of the water. Fortunately, none of them beat my time. So, and all but one of them didn't make the 10-minute mark that's set by the department. So we all felt good about ourselves after that. Hey, at least we can beat some CrossFit women, you know? So I had a good week. Anyway, this, it was last week. I was actually reading my Bible and listening to it as well. And, you know, when you think about the Old Testament, you think, okay, what's there? You know, it's just a lot of people just, it's a historical document and it's just there. But when you stop and you look at the people that are there and you really dig into it a little bit, there's really nothing in the Old Testament that we can't learn and apply today. When we look at the nation of Israel, and I've thrown stones at them for years that, you know, God brought them out of this land of slavery to a land that he promised them. You know, all they had to do is just go take it. And right off the bat, they fail because the spies went over and they're like, well, I don't know. Well, before they could even get there, they done failed. But once they got there, there was a lot of other failings as well. You know, they didn't possess the land like the Lord had told them to. Over and over, you see how they were on the mountaintops winning. And then the next thing you know, they're on the valley floor, following the other gods of the local people. And in desperate need, and God allowed them to go into slavery and punish them a little bit. And then you see them, oh, Lord, please help me, please help me. And I thought, man, these people are crazy. Why can't they learn from their mistakes? And then it's all of a sudden one day I'm looking in the mirror and thinking, yeah, there's no difference between the children of Israel and you, you know, because God has taken me from really high places, and then I've failed. And now I'm at the bottom of the pit looking up thinking, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. I'm sorry for what I've done. And next thing you know, I'm back up there in the clouds of blessings. And it's just it's a cycle with human beings, I think, to a certain degree. A lot of us can stay on those mountaintops a longer time than others. But I know when I look at myself, I can't throw stones at the children of Israel anymore. But anyway, this last week I was reading about, and I have to really be slow with these names. Cindy gives me a hard time about pronouncing names in the Old Testament. And when I was teaching Sunday school class and we would do the Old Testament stuff, usually I would say, we're going to talk about Jay this morning, you know, because it's easy to say Jay. But Jephthah, I have to really slow down and think about what I'm doing. Because a lot of these people, it's like, yeah, we're butchering them. I'll tell you another funny story. Sunday nights or Sunday afternoons, we have our men's Bible study. And Pastor wants us to go around the room and read scriptures. Like, I read one verse, next guy reads another one, we go around the room. Well, I'm going to tell him myself. I know that I'm usually the first one or after the group or the last one. So I'll scan ahead and look. Make sure I don't have any crazy names in there. And if I do, I start formulating in my head, where have I heard this name before and how can I pronounce this thing, you know? But fortunately, I haven't had to come across any of those so far because Pastor's been really good to me and let me read the first verse. And I have plenty of time to look at it and try to figure something out. But today we're going to talk about Jephthah. Jephthah. And when we think about him, and I told Cindy that hey, I'd be talking about Jephthah. She said, you know, the one that vowed his daughter to the Lord. That was the first thing that came to her head. She said, you know, there's a lot of controversy over that. Well, when I got to looking at him, I thought, you know what? There's more to this guy than just that. There's a whole story that we can build off of. And I asked the Lord, Lord, show me what I can learn from him. Because he was a man, right? Well, first off, right off the bat, in Judges 11 and 12 is where we hear the story of him. Right off the bat, he's called a mighty warrior. So he's obviously a cat that's either big in stature, or he can just whoop a lot of guys. But he was a mighty man, a mighty warrior. He was the son of a prostitute. And because of that, his brothers drove him away and said, hey, look, you're not going to have any inheritance in ours because you didn't come from our mother, right? You're not part of our family. So he leaves, and it says that he led a band of scoundrels is what the Bible says. Or these guys came to him and they followed him. So this guy had really nothing of his past, nothing in his heritage that you would say, that's a man of God right there. And you find over and over that many of the leaders, the guys that we put on the top shelf, as Pastor says, these guys didn't come from nothing. You know, they were just ordinary people, and this guy was ordinary as you get. He had a bad background. He was leading a bunch of bad guys, but Israel got in trouble. And when Israel got in trouble, they needed someone to come in there and help them fight the Amorites, right? Make sure I got the right group. Yeah. So they're like, hey, man, you know, we got this guy over here, this Japheth fella. He's a pretty tough guy. Let's ask him. So they call on him and they said, hey, look, we need you to be our leader to take us to battle. And he's like, oh, no, you kicked me out once, right? You said, we don't want no part of you. You just leave. Oh, well, we promise we won't do that again. And he's like, well, I don't know. I think what will happen is we'll win this battle. I'll go in there and help you win. And then you're going to say, oh, well, never mind. We don't want you anyway. Like, no, 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 we want you. We want you, right? So he was a little hesitant, and I understand so, of taking the leadership of their army because he was, you know, he had reason to doubt what they would do because they'd already been mean to him. So he decides, okay, I'll do this. I'll do this. So the very first thing, I think this is pretty important, too, when you think about stuff, or tactically from a warrior part. First thing he did was he sent a letter to the other guys. Said, hey, look, why are you doing this? Why are we having problems, you know? And in a sense, he's trying to make peace without actually going into an armed conflict with these guys. And he's like, well, didn't the God of Israel give us this land? And that's what we should take because our God gave it to us. And wouldn't you, if your God, with a little g, give you the land, wouldn't you want to possess it as well? And would you want to give it back? Well, I'll tell you what, let's do. You just call upon your God and see what he gives you. And we'll, you know, we have our God that's already given our stuff. Well, they ignored it and the battle was on, right? They paid no attention to the thing. And then we see the Spirit of the Lord come upon Jephthah. When I thought about that, I thought, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. So what else does a man need to be a leader when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you? What else do you need in your life? You don't even have to be a leader of anything, but just in your own life, in your own circumstances, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, what else do you need? We're talking about a guy that really didn't have much to speak of beforehand, but God obviously saw something in him and came upon him. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where You feel like that, hey, I don't have enough and I need to make a deal. And he made this vow before the Lord. But I thought about that. I thought, okay, he made a vow. Okay, well, I got the Spirit of the Lord upon me to do this, but I'm not sure if that's going to be enough. You know? I'm not sure if that's going to be enough. So have you ever made those deals? Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. If you help me out of this situation, I'll serve you the rest of my life, dedicate everything I am to you, and live a holy and pure life before you. Then the circumstance works its way out. The Lord helps you. And then all of a sudden you forget what it was you actually did. I know in my early years when I would do some stupid stuff, you know, like, oh, if you just get me out of this, I'll never do this again. And as soon as I recovered from that one, I was back doing it again. And then I realized, oh, Lord, one more time, please help me out of this situation. So Judges chapter 11, verses 30 through 31, we see the vow that he had made. Jephthah said, if you give the Amorites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. There were a couple things there I thought. He said, whatever comes out of my house, you know. Whatever. It's either going to be something living because it's going to be coming out of the house. But I don't think he ever expected his daughter to come out of the house. King James puts it like this. Surely, he says, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. That's a pretty bold statement right there. That's a pretty big thing to say. Whatever comes out, I'm going to give to you. That's kind of leaving a whole lot of up in the air. You know, that's a pretty big vow to make before the Lord. And never did he ever think that it would be his daughter. So why did Jephthah have to do this? Did he have a lapse in confidence in the Lord that he did it? This is a question I can't answer, but why did he do that? And then another theory is that he had saw how the other people had been offering sacrifices to their gods and things worked out. So maybe that's what I need to do. I need to make an appeasement for the Lord and say, hey, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. You know, help me win this water. And then I have to wonder if he even really felt the presence of the Lord upon him. If he really knew God is with me no matter what, I can win this battle. I don't need to make another vow before the Lord. I don't need to offer him. I don't need to appease him in any way. And I think a lot of times we do that. We try to make ourselves feel good about giving something to the Lord and not expecting just to get from the Lord. I got a guy at work. I got to digress just a second. I got a guy at work. His name is Nick. And, you know, we'll be out at the shopping store or wherever. And I'll say, hey, you guys want a drink? You want a Coke or something? Yeah. So I'll buy a drink. Well, Nick won't let me buy him a drink because he feels like he don't want anyone to give him anything. I said, well, you buy me a drink. Okay, I'll buy you a drink. He'll buy us all drinks. I said, Nick, why won't you let people buy you a drink? I just don't like to get stuff from other people. I said, what you're doing is you're robbing other people of an opportunity to bless you by not doing that. I said, it's not a man thing. It's not an ego thing, man. Just let them buy you a drink. You know, it's not like any much big thing. And I think we sometimes feel like that, Lord, I can't just get anything free from you because I feel like I've got to give you something, you know. And God sometimes says, look, I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you because I love you. Let me bless you. Let me love you. And there's no strings attached to this thing. Well, that's where Jephthah was at. He made this vow before the Lord. He said, I made a vow before the Lord that I cannot break. And then all of a sudden he sees this girl come out the door. It was his only child too, right? Not only was it his only child, but it was a daughter. So that meant that there's not going to be any more line carried on through him. And I don't know, as a man, it's one thing to have boys. You know, you can kind of have a sense there. But as a girl, I would think, man, I just can't give up my only daughter. There's something special about my daughter. And he'd done made this, dare I say, stupid vow before the Lord that he would give this daughter. And his daughter asked, you know, hey, look, Dad, you made the vow. You got to do what you got to do. Just give me a couple weeks to go mourn with my friends. So sure enough, he says, go. A couple weeks later, here she comes back. Now, there could be a whole message right there just on her and her obedience to what her father had done before the Lord. She had no control over that. And that, I was reading some other stuff, how that we sometimes as people have no control over the things that happen to us because of other people's mistakes. And an example of that would be like our government. They make some rule. We have to live by that rule. But sometimes we are put in situations that we had no control over. We just thank the Lord that sometimes he helps us through those situations. But this girl was in that situation, and she was very obedient, even unto death. There's arguments as to what actually happened to her, but even unto death, that she was saying, okay, Father, if you've made this vow before the Lord, then you can do it. So after the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he vowed. Again, there's a lot of speculation as to what it was that he did to her, that he vowed. You know, some say that he just dedicated her to the Lord. Others are like she was sacrificed death before the Lord. So whatever the outcome there was, it was a pretty important, it was a big deal. And Japheth made this vow before the Lord. So we'll come back in just a second to that. But Japheth went on to lead the nation of Israel for 6 more years, and then he died. Interesting thing about that is, it doesn't say anything positive or negative about those other 6 years. You know, when you read about other people in the Bible, it says they had 6 years of peace, or they had this many years of peace, and then they died. He just says he led them for another 6 years, and then he died. It doesn't even record that they even mourned his death. He's just there. So the big question is, what can we learn from Japheth? One, rejection from man is not the end. Just because we have a bad past, because we grew up in a bad home, just because we may have done some bad things and be rejected by men, that doesn't mean that we're not in a place where the Lord can use us. We just have to be in a place where we hear his voice, right? We have to be available and ready to serve when the Lord calls. Japheth was a little skeptical about these people wanting him to be his leader or their leader, but he eventually fell in line and did it. And we see the success that the Lord had given him. But we need to be in that place where I'm available. I may not have a good background, but I'm available to what it is that you have for me, Lord. Then we need to be careful with our words, right? Matthew, I don't have this up there, but Matthew 5:37 says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. We need to be careful what we tell other people we will do. We need to keep our word. If we say we're going to do it, we need to keep our word. That's why it's pretty important to understand and to be careful about what you say. If you say you're going to do something that's well beyond your abilities, okay, now you're really putting yourself in a bad spot. Or if you say you're going to do something that would potentially be not according to what we believe as Christians, you know, we can't do those things. So we have to be careful what our words is. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, it is better not to take a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Be careful what you promise other people. Be careful what you promise before the Lord. Because if you say, Lord, I'll do this, and you don't, you've lied to the Lord. That's a bad thing, I would think, right? So we need to be careful what we say before the Lord. And finally, we need to remain faithful to God in the situations. Right, wrong, or indifferent, he made a vow before the Lord and he kept his word. However that happened, he kept his vow and he followed through with the situation and the vow with his daughter. So we need to remain faithful to the Lord. And it's interesting that you think, okay, well, there's not much there for this guy. You know, he just did this. I think it's kind of cool that if you read on forward into Hebrews chapter 11, and chapter 11 is that hall of fame, right? By faith, these guys did this. By faith, they did that. And if you go down to verse 32, it says, and what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, or Japheth, about David, Samuel, and the prophets. There's something about this cat that made himself faithful before the Lord to make that list, to be part of what's mentioned. By faith, he did this. So we can learn from anybody in the Bible. So what we learned today from Jephthah is to be faithful before the Lord. Keep our word. Think about what we say, right? Amen? Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that, Lord, that we can read from your word. And if we dig deep enough, Father, we can learn from everything that your word has to say. Father, there's nothing in that Bible. There's not anything in that Bible, Father, that is not there for a purpose. You put it there for a purpose. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to discover that purpose. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be in a place, Father, Lord, that we can receive from you, that we'd be in a place where your spirit rests upon us. Lord, that we would have the wisdom to be careful about what we say, the vows that we make, Father, and we remain faithful to you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor Steve.